You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Sports Prep Live.
Sports Prep Live.
Where we unbox the mic and talk excellence in athletics. Welcome back to Sports Prep Live. This is our final episode of Season 2. Very excited to be here. I'm Graydon Prescott. I'm here with my man KB. We are going to do a sort of a recap of this season, some of the things that we've talked about, and some of the things going on in the present in the sports world. There's a lot of big things happening right now. So we don't have a lot of time, and we have a lot of things to talk about. So we should probably get right into
it,
don't you agree? Okay, we'll start with a little bit of a recap. Some of our most listened to episodes had to do with, and Caitlin Clark was involved in a lot of these.
Not surprising.
Throw that out there. A lot of our most listened to episodes had to do with the women's NCAA tournament. We covered that tournament in three separate episodes.
Right.
We covered the first and second round. Then we covered the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Then
25 million views. Viewers.
Yeah, then we cover the Final Four. And our most listened to, of course, was the Final Four championship game episode. But what we did not get to talk about in that episode, if I recall correctly, is the viewership records.
Right.
We ran out of time there at the end. And something that, okay, so the record was set last year for most viewers of a women's college basketball game ever. And that was in the Iowa and LSU national championship game.
Yes.
And that peaked around 14 million.
Correct.
This year, that viewership record was broken not once, not twice, but three times in a row by Iowa. Starting when they played LSU in the Elite Eight, they broke the viewership record for a women's NCAA game overall. Then they played UConn in the Final Four,
right.
Broke the record again. They're 1 week old.
So they broke the record that they had broken.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
They broke the record for a second time.
Yes.
And then they played South Carolina and blew the record out of the water with 18.7 million. I think that was 1.5 million more than they got with UConn.
And they hit total viewership. Their high watermark was nearly
25 million. That's right.
That is unbelievable.
I know. I think just looking back on the impact that Caitlin had on the women's game. She really, I mean, of course, there are your basketball heads that were paying attention no matter what, but I think she really put women's college basketball on the map.
Yes.
For good. She's got people paying attention to everybody now, not just her. She gave a platform for, you know, girls like Juju Watkins and Paige Beckers has a much larger following
Sure. Now.
Angel Reese was
Hannah
able
Hidalgo
to
at Notre Dame.
I'm not saying this to discredit, but Angel Reese was able to do what she did because of Caitlin Clark.
Yes, I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Which is
why she probably began to temper some of her remarks this year.
Because she saw
the direction this train was moving in, and it was an unstoppable train.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, Angel's made a name for herself. She'll be fine in the WNBA. So I think, you know, she did what she was supposed to do. She got her name out there. She's become a celebrity. She, you know, made a lot of money in NIL, and now she's in the WNBA, and she's, you know, she's going to get endorsement deals, not on the level that Caitlin Clark will.
Absolutely
but,
not.
She's still going to get her endorsement deals. So, you know, you got to be happy for Angel. You got girls like Juju Watkins who come in their freshman year, and, you know, scoring 51
Can't
points.
Can't wait to watch her play again.
I know.
She's unbelievable.
And I think she's going to be the face of women's college basketball.
Going forward. Yeah.
Maybe not this next year because Paige Beckers might have something to say in her fifth and final year.
There is Paige. There's AZ Fudd. Again, Hannah Hidalgo out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
She's tough.
Yes. USC is going to be tough next year.
But Juju Watkins, in my estimation, is in a class all by herself.
Yes. Juju came in. She broke the freshman scoring record, Caitlin's old record.
Yes.
She's got the program. She, you know, everybody is backing her. They fully embraced her. So I think, you know, she's going to definitely tear it up and probably threaten, this might be a bold take, threaten Caitlyn's scoring records because of how dynamic she is. She's a three-level scorer. She does it from the three-point line. She gets to the free throw line. She hits the mid-range. She gets to the basket. She's a little bit inefficient.
She scores in a multitude of ways.
She's a little bit inefficient, but you know, she still gets it done. She averaged 27, 28 points per game this year. In the NCAA tournament, she averaged 28 points per game. You were critical of how she performed in the tournament.
Yes.
But, you know, with that being said, she was still dominant for the extent of the season.
Yeah, she's one to watch. I look forward to seeing her in the upcoming season. I know she's going to work hard this off season.
Yeah.
She is a talent to behold, and luckily, you know, there are games that she has here in Las Vegas. I mean, I think she played here two or three times this past season, so we get to see her up close and personal, and it's not too far to, you know, hop on the hop in the vehicle and shoot down to Los Angeles and go to USC to watch her. So that doesn't take a lot of effort either. So I'm definitely going to see her in person. She is a sight to behold on that basketball court.
Yes. And the Trojans, next year, they are going to be a problem. Have you seen their recruiting class coming in this year?
I have not.
You haven't?
So I do understand that they are going to be tougher next year than they are this year because mm-hmm. they've got some recruits coming through the door. Iowa actually has a couple of recruits and a transfer coming in. So Iowa's going to look good next year as well.
I'm going to make my early prediction. I got USC winning the whole thing. They've got 2 5 stars, 2 4 stars, and Kiki Arifin from Stanford. She averaged 19 points per game. Uh-huh. She was a freshman last year.
Okay.
She's going into her sophomore year, same as Juju. She averaged 19 points a game at Stanford. She was an All-American. When they played Iowa State, she went for 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, that's not an easy number to hit.
No, not at all. And that's with Cameron Brink on the team.
Right.
She went for 40. So she is a problem, and she decided to transfer to USC. So they now have another person who's going to score 20 points a game. They got 2 5 stars and 2 4 stars coming in this next year. USC is my pick to win the national championship.
Okay.
That aside, more drama on the women's side of things. The Olympic team. We talked a little bit about this earlier in the year. Who will be on that team? We talked about, you know, Diana Taurasi being salty.
This was another story that got a lot of attention from the listeners.
Right.
A lot of engagement. Who's going to be on that team? And some of the drama that maybe one or two of these picks will invite.
Yes, absolutely.
Really one, but I'll let you go on with what you were saying.
So for a little bit of background info, for those who haven't heard, Diana Taurasi, she's WNBA legend. She was voted as the greatest player of all time in the WNBA a few years ago. She's a 3-time champion, multiple-time MVP, all-time leading scorer. But she's 40 years old. She said on air on ESPN2 that Caitlin Clark is not ready or has a new thing coming into the WNBA,
right.
Saying she hasn't been playing against grown women. She's only played against 18-year-old girls.
Right. Reality's coming, I think, is the...
Yeah.
Yes. The term she used.
She got a lot of flack for that.
And some support, actually.
Yeah.
But she... probably more flack. Yes.
Yeah.
Because it really came off as hating.
Yeah, because...
It really did.
I think it's because she felt like, well, shoot, I did this, and this in college. Why aren't you mentioning me? And
with a stacked team.
Yeah. Sue Bird, you know, all
I mean,
all
let's just... Let's
five
just,
All-Americans.
Let's just put this in perspective. Caitlin Clark takes a program that had never been to a championship game.
Never.
Goes into the program... Sets every type of record that you can possibly set.
Every last one.
Comes out of the program with the most scored on the women's side,
yep.
points, and the most scored on the men's side for yep. NCAA.
Not just the team.
Probably a record that is going to stand. Let's see. Pete Maravich's record stood for 50 years, 47 years, something like that.
Yeah, close to it, yeah.
So you got to imagine, this is going to be a difficult nut to crack, you know, over the next decade, two decades. So not only is there that, but then there's this. Caitlin Clark, although she goes to 2 national championship games, she does lose both of those games. But in her years there, she beat blue chip program UConn.
Yep.
She beat blue chip program LSU. She beat blue chip program South Carolina.
She did.
Name another one of those programs that are competing with all three of those schools who have done that. Like, and she did it. No disrespect to anybody on that squad. There are some hoopers on that squad, but there's no five-star athletes on the Iowa women's basketball team. Yeah. And I'm not sure there's any four-star, although they will be getting some.
Mm-hmm.
She takes this team by herself and does this damage to UConn and does this damage to South Carolina and does this damage to the reigning national champion LSU Tigers.
Right.
So for Diana Taurasi to speak, in my estimation, as derisively about Caitlin Clark as she did, I think was a bridge too far for a lot of people, present company included.
Yeah.
She's got her supporters, like I said. Stephen A. Smith came to her defense. I think Shannon Sharp came to her defense. Ocho Cinco pushed back on it a little bit. But I am here to say, if she didn't mean it like it intended, and I don't think she's cleaned it up, right? She just wanted to keep it out there, maybe have her, what she would view as her Kobe moment. I don't think she's cleaned it up. She's got another thing coming if she thinks that Caitlin Clark is only able to do what she's done because she was playing against, quote unquote, falsely, I might add, 18-year-olds. That is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, most 18-year-olds in college don't get on the floor. You have to be special to get on the floor as an 18-year-old.
Yeah, you do.
And you tell me, is it easier running up and down the floor against 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds, or is it easier doing it against a 40-year-old?
I mean, from my experience, I have more trouble playing against 15, 16, 17-year-olds than I do. Like,
come on, Taurasi.
40-year-olds.
Where are you taking us with this?
Yeah. I think she might be a little bit salty that she could see her name getting left off this Olympic roster, because if it were up to me, and if it were up to you, I'm sure, and a lot of people who watched,
she's had her day.
She had her heyday.
And she was glorious. She was amazing.
She did her thing. She, you know.
Do not get it twisted. Diana Taurasi was a hooper.
As of right now, she's the greatest WNBA player of all
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
It's not really a debate. But not anymore. You're past your prime. It's past your heyday.
Yes, those championships are going in another direction lately.
Right. You pushed Skylar Diggins-Smith away, and now look what that got you. You went 9-31 last season. The year before that, you made it to the WNBA Finals, not because you really brought that team there, but because Brittany Griner had one of the best games I've ever seen in Game 5 against the Aces. So they're not really relevant.
Yes.
They're not really a relevant team right now. She's not really relevant.
And that's why she shouldn't be talking greasy.
Right. Because if you had a final roster of WNBA players, obviously Asia Wilson's got to be on that roster.
Yes.
Breonna Stewart.
Yes.
Sabrina Ionescu. Chelsea Gray. Jackie Young. You know, there's a lot of people.
Absolutely.
She's not one of them.
And
Caitlin Clark.
If you're just thinking about the marketing aspect of this, right? You're playing international basketball. Who do you think these kids...
Who cares about the marketing aspect? Caitlin's the best player.
But that's the point that I'm making, right? That's who's going to put butts in the seats.
That's like... That's the equivalent...
No matter where they play.
That's the equivalent of saying, from a marketing perspective, I'm going to put LeBron when he was 22 on the Olympic team.
I get your point.
Yeah. This is Graydon Prescott here on Sports Prep Live, and we are doing a recap of some of our hottest topics this season 2. So, we've talked about the women's Olympic team. We've talked about the NCAA tournament on the women's side. We haven't really said much about the men's side, and there's reason to that.
Right.
It wasn't exactly relevant this year.
Anticlimactic.
Very.
Yes.
Yeah. But I will say, going into next year, in the men's side, there could be a little bit more spice,
yes.
Interest.
Yeah.
Parody, yes.
Yes.
That's a good word for it. You and I talked earlier this season about the McDonald's All-American game, who would be in that game. We found that out later in the year.
Right.
And one of our topics of discussion was Cooper Flagg. And you talked about his defensive prowess and his motor. And we talked about, you know, other players in that, you know, Dylan Harper, Amari Bailey, those guys obviously going to Rutgers, Cooper Flagg going to Duke. Do you think, who do you think in the men's side is going to be, who do you need to keep your eye out for? Who's the most important person to watch for going into next season?
That is a really good question. And I'm going to answer it two ways.
Okay.
In terms of immediate impact, you know, this 1-2 thing that has been going on all year, really for the last couple of years in high school basketball between Cooper Flagg and DJ Wagner.
DJ Wagner, I think he's returning, but he played his first year at Kentucky this year because he reclassed up. I think you're thinking about Amari Bailey.
Yes.
And Dylan Harper.
And Harper. That's who I was talking about. Harper. Yeah. Harper. Dylan Harper. This 1-2 that's going back and forth between, you know, him and Harper, it was a sight to behold. You know, they both were in the McDonald's All-American games. They were both in the Jordan Classic.
Yep.
There were, I think, going into that, a lot of expectations for both of them. But it seemed like late in the season that car or that runner that was just on your heels, and I'm saying Cooper Flagg was in the number one spot, right?
He was A1. Hold on. Let me get ready for this.
Yes. Cooper Flagg was in that A1 spot, but you could hear the footsteps of Dylan Harper. Mm-hmm. I know he could all year long. And then it seemed like in the last maybe 6 weeks of high school basketball, there was a change. I am here to tell you, Dylan Harper is a problem.
The world knows
Dylan,
it.
Dylan know Harper it. Is the truth. Shout out to Ron Harper, multi-champion with the Chicago Bulls,
yep.
You know, a one-time nemesis of Michael Jordan before he joined him when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep. Put respect on Ron Harper's name. He's a five-time champion.
Yes, he is. And it seems he has put everything that he knows about basketball into Dylan Harper, and it is starting to show.
Yeah.
This kid is flat out phenomenal. So to answer your question, I think the more immediate impact that is going to be had is going to be by Dylan Harper. Not to say Cooper isn't going to have his moments, not to say he's not going to have a brilliant 1 year in college. I'd say career, but it's probably going to be one and done. But listeners, when I tell you, look out for this kid, Dylan Harper. He's the truth.
Wow. I was thinking you were going to say Cooper Flagg, if we're being honest.
And Cooper Flagg is tough.
Because we talked about him.
I've been on that bandwagon for a long time. And I still like him.
No, nothing but respect for Cooper Flagg. But in the past couple of months, we can just list off some of the things that Dylan Harper has done. He won State Player of the Year. He won the MVP of the McDonald's All-American Game. He won the MVP of the Jordan Brand Classic.
Yes.
He was named National Player of the Year. So he's done four things that, I mean, of course, State Player of the Year. He's not in the same state as Cooper Flagg, so we're not going to hold that one against Cooper. But he's done four things, and three of them involving Cooper, that generally go to the best player in the country.
Yes.
You know, LeBron was the MVP of his McDonald's All-American game. Kevin Durant was the MVP of his McDonald's All-American game. And now Dylan Harper was the MVP of the McDonald's All-American. And it wasn't close.
It wasn't close.
It wasn't close.
It was not. I saw the game. It was not close.
He was clearly the best player on the floor every minute he was on the court. He's going to Rutgers. He's teaming up with Mr. Bailey.
Ace
Bailey, yep. That team is going to be tough. They're going to be electrifying. Big Ten, you know, I don't know if they'll be Big Ten champs immediately. But they're gonna make some noise.
I will say this for Cooper Flagg, and we have to remember this: Cooper Flagg is still a puppy.
He reclassed
up. Is young.
Oh my! I forgot about
and
that.
That's why I said that's correct. That's why I said the more immediate impact,
Dylan Harper.
But over the next 2 to 5 years,
man,
Cooper Flagg. Oh my God.
Yeah,
Cooper. It's going to be unreal to see this kid come into his own.
I forgot he reclassed
because he is a kid.
He's supposed to be a junior, right?
Yes,
a true junior.
Yes, he is.
I think maybe a little bit he gets his numbers skewed because he's on such a stacked team at Montverde.
Right, right.
But you know, now that I think about it, he goes into the McDonald's All-American game. He's supposed to be a junior. He doesn't win MVP. Same with the Jordan Brand Classic. He doesn't win MVP, but he's supposed to be a junior.
Right, right. He's still wet behind the ears.
Just imagine if he were in high school one more
Right?
year. I mean, my God.
So, yeah, I will not make the mistake of not putting respect on that young man's name. Cooper yes. Flagg is the truth.
Cooper Flagg He's tough. Is a problem.
I've seen him in person. This dude is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And he's a puppy.
Yep. Earlier, while we were talking about what needed to be said on today's show, you had a piece of advice for current day, like right now, present day,
yes.
college athletes, high school athletes yep. at a high level, involving a tough situation
yes.
To speak on, very controversial.
Sure.
And you had a piece of advice, and I think that a lot of people really need to hear this, especially if you're a young athlete trying to make a name for yourself. And you had said something very interesting, so I'm going to give you the floor here to say what you need to say. So,
and I think we can kind of take our cues from someone who has handled the press with almost absolute perfection, mm-hmm. and that you know that harkens us back to Caitlin Clark. She rarely, if ever, stumbles. She rarely, if ever, says the wrong thing. She is thoughtful. You can tell that she's had a ton of media training. She doesn't touch hot button issues. She understands I'm trying to be the best basketball player that I can possibly be.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be anything else. To that point, right now in the country, we are having a huge issue on college campuses as we speak with respect to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And I think if we hearken back to Kyrie Irving, or we hearken back to even on the music side of things, a Kanye West, when you speak on an issue that you are not well-versed on, it can end disastrously, or it can end you disastrously
right.
in the yeah. way that it has ended Kanye West. So to those out there on either side of this issue, and it is an intractable issue, it is a complicated issue, if you don't know what you're talking about, and you probably don't if you're still in college,
yeah.
leave that issue alone as a young athlete. I've seen a couple of athletes on Instagram, on TikTok, begin to kind of weigh in. And my advice to you, as a guy who has been trained in media, is leave it alone.
Right.
My second piece of advice is, and I'm starting to see more of this on college campuses, is that we have to recognize, even if you are for the cessation of hostilities, if you are for ending the war, you do not have to be anti-Israel, you do not have to be anti-Jewish in order to want the cessation of hostilities to come to fruition. I think far too often people are crossing a line between wanting to criticize Israel's prosecution of the war, which I personally feel is justified because October 7th will live in infamy for a lot of folks in what happened to them under that terrorist event. But even I don't want to talk about this issue ad nauseum. What I would say to young athletes out there, this is not a TikTok moment. This is not an Instagram moment. This is serious business. And if you don't know anything about this issue, if you haven't learned enough about the issue, if you haven't studied upon the issue, leave it alone. But I would also say, if you're out there protesting or whatever, make sure that it's respectful. Make sure that you understand what you're talking about. And you have to take into account that a lot of people in our collegiate communities, especially on the Jewish side of things, these are our fellow students. These are sometimes our fellow athletes. We have to understand the stress that they are being put under, and students in Jewish students do not dictate Israeli policy. And so I think sometimes we're conflating these two things. We're seeing a lot of that in Columbia right now. We're seeing it at Yale. We're seeing it, in the news today, UNC, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, down in Texas, UCLA. Luckily, we haven't seen a lot of that here at UNLV because I think with UNLV, there is a recent tragedy, you know, in our mind that we've kind of got our perspective. So I would just say to young athletes out there, be careful. This is not a moment for TikTok. This is not a moment to pop off. You really need to know what you're talking about. And whatever you do, please do not engage in anti-Semitic tropes. That's all I have to say on that issue.
Thank you. And you pretty much hit everything on the head. I have nothing to add. Just make sure any athlete out there, make sure you listen to what was just said, because this is the most important thing that was said on this show all season. I don't care about that, about the sports, Caitlin, whatever she did, that is the most important message that we've had on this show all season. So if anything you take away from this show, take that away. That's the most important thing. Well, we're just about time to wrap up this episode, so I'm going to leave you with one final question.
Yes.
We're going to stay right here in Las Vegas. The Aces have 16 players on their
I know where you're going with this.
They need to get it down to 12.
Right.
I'm going to list the players who you and I can both agree are locks. Jackie Young.
There's 10 of them.
Asia Wilson.
Yes.
Kia Stokes.
Yes.
Kelsey Plum.
Yes.
Chelsea Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Clark.
Yes.
Kristen Bell.
Yes.
Okay. That, for me, are my locks. Now you could say Megan Gustafson.
Yes. Okay. She just signed a 2-year deal, so absolutely.
Okay.
There's 10 of them that are locks.
Kate Martin?
We're outside the 10 now.
Oh.
So Kate is in, and I am a huge fan of Kate Martin. She's doing the darn thing in the practices over there at the Henderson facility,
yeah.
The Aces facility out in Henderson. Kate Martin is there. Bria Beal, who I found out was there, played with South Carolina. In the national championship game last year. National championship
last
game.
Last year, yes.
It was a Final Four game.
Oh, yeah, Final Four. They lost to Iowa.
They lost to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So Bria Beal is on that squad or trying to vie for a spot. There are, I believe, 2 spots left. And Celeste Taylor, there are 6. Daisha Fair.
Celeste Taylor is on the Fever. You talking about?
No, you're correct. I'm talking about Daisha Fair and Kamari Daniel.
Oh, McDaniel. Yes.
There are about 6 rookies vying for what I believe are 2 spots.
Exactly right.
I am not sure where this, and there's one who's not even listed right now because she's injured. Elizabeth Kitley.
She won't technically be a rookie until next year.
Correct.
So she's
almost kind of like a red shirt.
Yeah, she's good.
Because she's injured.
She's fine.
So it's going to be tough for me, but I'm going to do it. I'm not going to shirk the question here, to go out on a limb and say who is going to make this roster.
Okay.
One is a fan favorite, and I'm in that group.
Okay, so I know where you're going here.
Yes, fan favorite, Kate Martin.
Right.
I so want Kate Martin. She's a pit bull. She's tough. You know who she reminds me of?
In the women's game?
In the Aces organization.
In the Aces organization, who does she remind you of?
Yes.
As a player or as?
As a player.
Who does she remind you of? A pit bull?
A pit bull.
For the, like, a superstar pit bull or a role player?
Okay, you're asking me a lot of questions here. I'm going to give you the answer. Fine. She reminds me of Becky Hammon.
Oh.
That's who she reminds me of. So
really?
That's the sneak tip.
I like that comparison. I really
she do. She is tough. She's a pit bull. She's fearless. Becky Hammon was the same way. So that's my inside favorite.
Okay.
And then there's the young lady. I think she is from Michigan State,
Kamaria McDaniel,
Who is really tough. And then there's one of them is 6'5".
Angel Jackson.
Yes.
Out of Jackson State.
At Jackson State.
Yep.
6'5". 6'5" is not something that can be taught.
Nope. Not at all.
So I don't know a lot about her game, but if her game is commensurate with that size, mm-hmm. if those things go together, she may be one of those inside tracks.
So all right.
For me, it's Kate Martin, and it may be Angel Jackson.
All right. That's a very good 2. I think I would have to agree with that. Maybe I would take 3 and drop a player. I'm not going to say a name.
Right. I know where you're going with that.
Yes.
Shall remain unnamed.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to season 2 of Sports Prep Live. It's been absolutely fantastic to have you all here. Make sure you stay primed and ready for season 3. And as always, everyone, have a great day, and we will see you next time right here on Sports Prep Live.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Sports Prep Live. I'm Graydon Prescott, and don't forget to catch all of our episodes on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Sports Prep Live. Thank you.